thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
It's time for Pets Corner, and our resident vet, Kirsten Simpson, joins us now. Hello, have you had a good holiday?
Yeah, actually, yeah, not too bad. Yeah, quite chill out, yeah.
I mean, you always look fresh, but you look relaxed.
Yeah, that's quite good. It's quite nice having some long lies and stuff, so chilling out.
Right, well, you should be really on top of your game then. So let me ask you a question. Best small animals that make pets?
See, everyone's views on this are quite different. It would depend, I think, who it was for as well. When I was younger, I had hamsters, but I know some folk don't like them because they can be quite small and quite nippy unless you take some time to get them kind of tamed a little bit more.
How'd you tame a hamster?
Just put food in your hand, stroke it a bit, get it used to your smell, and just get used to getting picked up and put down again. So they just get used to getting kind of just picked up and moved around. If you've got them from a good breeder or a good pet shop, then they should be doing that already for you. So they should be pretty much kind of chilled out as well. So they're pretty easy to tame, though. I mean, so it's more like if you do it, first of all, if you've got a kid, then that's fine. Otherwise, the kid will like try and grab it and get bitten and sad things and blood everywhere. So I like hamsters, but some people say that if you want a good pet for a young child, a rat's probably better, actually,
because
they're a bit bigger, they're a bit chunky, they're a bit slower, they're a bit fatter, they're a bit more kind of friendly as well. So but they would advise to go for more male rats. The female rats, everyone's got personal preference, but male rats are a bit more kind of like, you know, quite chunky, quite chilled out.
It's just like humans, huh?
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, no, they're quite good pets as well. Otherwise, guinea pigs are the next one I would go for.
Can I ask you about that? Guinea pigs, because they can be a bit smelly, though, can't they?
Not really. I think if you clean them out, if you get them when they're quite wee and you handle them well and get them kind of quite well trained, they can be trained to like pee and poo in a certain corner of the cage, like a sort of litter type area as well.
How'd you do that?
Just again, like get sort of their wet bedding and the pooed on bedding and kind of put it in the corner, and eventually they'll learn, they'll go and just pee in that corner. You can do it to like other animals too. Like my friend at school, she used to train her hamster to go pee in a jam jar. So she just like, she would just change the jam jar once a week, and the rest of the litter, the thing got changed every couple of weeks, I think, as well.
That's so fantastic.
It's quite good. Yeah.
Because when I was in a school, I remember many years ago when I was young, in the olden days, we used to get pets home at the weekend, so we'd get in turn to get a guinea pig or whatever. I love getting guinea pigs home.
Yeah, no, we had that at my school, but I was a bit too old for that. I think it was more like the primary twos and threes, and they had like a wee hamster they used to go home and all that kind of stuff. So yeah,
rabbits, they can be a bit questionable, can't they?
Yeah, I know. Personally, I know I probably that's a bit. I know some people on some vets love them, but they're very high. If you're going to get a rabbit, be a rabbit owner, because I think some folk get them for the kids, and then they need like proper attention, so they need proper food, proper diet, proper space. I think some folk assume there's like shoving in a cage, that's totally fine, but they're so prone to getting lots of problems that'd be quite expensive to fix. So if you're going to get a rabbit, get it insured or have lots of money for it, because they can be very expensive if they get unwell. And if you don't want to do that, and then get a different pet, I would say.
And having two rabbits for company, is that obviously of the same sex, is that a good idea?
Yeah, even the opposite sex as well is totally fine, but usually they say it's best to get them from a young age to bond. So like litter mates, bonded litter mates are probably the best way to kind of get them. Otherwise, they can be quite funny sometimes. So they can. Some rabbits are pretty cool and pretty chilled out, and most that have bond with most other rabbits perfectly fine, but I think the best advice is to get a bonded pair from a young age.
Surely if you put a couple of them together, they'll breed like rabbits?
I will. That's why you get them castrated in spade. We do quite a lot. Yeah,
right. Really?
Yeah, we do quite a lot, actually. Castrations and spaying off the does as well. So, yeah, we do quite a few.
Fish.
Yeah, fish. Well, we don't see, luckily, touchwood, many fish. Fish are counted
difficult, I would have thought.
They are. No, I know my friend at uni, Cindy's in America, she's quite into exotics, and she's operated on everything from like, you know, mini pigs to like sugar gliders, they call them in America, and fish as well, and taking out eyes, taking off lumps and that as well. So you can do that, but usually it's more the kind of fancier fish, like the kois and those kind of ones. They're worth a lot of money, so they tend to go to the more proper exotic vets. But most normal fish, I think most folks that have fish tend to kind of deal with things themselves. Like you can buy kits from your good pet store and fish shop to kind of treat water and treat things and that as well. So touch wood, I've never seen a fish in the last 10 years.
How do you operate on a fish?
You get anisic solution, so you have like a bowl of water that's oxygenated, and a bowl of water that's oxygenated but it's got kind of this liquid in it. I can't remember the name of it, but you pop the fish into it, and as they breathe the water, they inhale this stuff and they pass out. So then you take them out, operate on them, and you kind of put water into the mouth and bubble kind of oxygen through the water, and then when they wake up, you put them back in the recovery tank and they come round.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that.
It's
so
cool.
So you would get advice then, obviously, from where you're getting the fish for the kind of kit that you need to keep them fit as well. Yeah,
it's more about, I think, kind of water, sort of acidity, alkalinity, certain things in the water, like chlorine in that and all that kind of stuff. So we tend to not do with that. I think most folk that get fish, either, you know, cold water or warm water fish, tend to go to a good aquarium sort of or fishy type shop, which tend to have folk that are quite knowledgeable in this kind of stuff as well. So yeah, they tend to deal more with that kind of stuff, and anything else more fancy and weird and kind of technical, they would go down to an exotic vet specialist.
And my friend, I remember he got some fish and he got another one, and it was, I don't know, he seemed to like this fish thing. Oh, was it a man? It wouldn't be a man of war, would it?
That's a jellyfish, isn't it? Portuguese man of war. I mean, you get this,
ate everything else.
There are Japanese, I think it's Japanese fighting fish you can get.
Could be that.
Yeah. And they should be kept kind of alone or with other kind of fish of the same kind, because they, like, yeah, they pretty much like destroy everything.
Oh, I know. Oh, you had a terrible time with it.
Yeah.
And they
got
huge as well.
Yeah, yeah, not surprised.
Birds.
Yeah, no, birds again, they kind of do, it depends on what kind. I mean, most folk would have had some sort of, you know, canary or budgie in the past type thing, and they can live up to, you know, like sort of 15, 18 years perfectly fine. But again, as with them, most normal vets, I myself, don't tend to deal with them very much, because if anything goes wrong with them quite majorly, we tend to refer you guys on to the more specialist folk, which would be probably Laurie's Vets, I think, are the kind of renowned kind of specialists in sort of such Scotland, apart from obviously the ones at Edinburgh Vet School. Because you do get some folk that come in with, you know, we've had a few African greys and macaws and that in for, like, things like, you know, a beak trim and a nail trim, and we can just deal with that, that's okay. But anything more fancier is a bit more kind of complicated. We tend to sort of advise to go to a more kind of bird specialist vet for sure.
And should you know, if you have a bird, should you let it out?
To fly around, I think. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think they say it's probably the best thing for it, to keep them out most of the time. So I think most good bird folk would have either a sort of big kind of outside bit, like attached onto the back of the house, for them to go fly around and outside and stay outside. Or in your house, some folk have like kind of perches around the house and have the bird kind of free roaming during the day and in its cage at night time. So you can again train some birds to kind of go to the loo in certain areas as well, on certain perches too. So yeah, no, there are some. Yeah, I think getting to fly around is probably more natural for them than not.
No, I'm going back again here, but can't you get diseases from birds, some quite nasty stuff, like from budgerigars and things?
Yeah, well, from any kind of bird, you can get psittacosis, which is a horrible infection that, I think these are called, you can also get kind of bird fanciers lung. I don't know if they're the same thing, but it's a nasty infection that you have to worry about. I think most birds can carry it, or most birds can not show signs of it, but it can pass on to you as well. So yeah, it's a hard one to kind of, I think, investigate. I think it's more with birds, you tend to diagnose it kind of post-mortem, because you take samples from deep in the animal's kind of, you know, lungs and that as well, to kind of check if they got it. So it's more kind of, so yeah, seeing what happens to that thing. I know it's a bit risky.
Yeah, so with all small animals, like other animals, hygiene is quite important, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think with things like rabbits and guinea pigs, yeah, I mean, there's not much you can kind of pick up from them, really. Same with, like, you know, proper bred, like mice and rats. They've got to say folk worry about things, obviously, the Black Death and all this kind of stuff. But most kind of, you know, pet rats, they're pretty okay. Hamsters, and I think hamsters, rats and mice can actually catch, like, if you've got a really bad common cold, you can pass it on to them sometimes as well, and that could be pretty nasty, yeah, yeah.
Right. And finally, just a quick one, insects.
Insects, yeah. Again, there's some people that quite like them. So I think the most common ones we tend to hear about as pets are, you can get, like, you know, the giant cockroaches, I think it's African giant land snails, and stick insects. I would say are the top three insects I've heard of as being pets. And again, it's quite weird. I think they don't tend to get on well. I think if folk do, they kind of just go, oh well, it's an insect type thing. So I've never seen an insect, and I don't know. Would you go to? You probably. We could try for an exotic vet and see if they could sort of see what's going on with it, but I don't know what they would do. I've not a clue about insects, what you'd do with them.
Snakes, reptiles.
Yeah, again, they're a bit more specialised too. I think because they live a long time and they cost a lot of money to kind of keep and get. I think the folk that are into them are very into them, and tend to go to more kind of specialist vets, sort of get those things kind of checked out. So we've seen a few. We've got a couple that come to our practice for, like, you know, getting weighed, getting their nails clipped, getting checked out as well. And then usually the most folk that have them are pretty much like, you know, we'll say go here, they go, yeah, that's totally fine. So we can deal with kind of most minor things, but anything more kind of specialist surgery wise type thing, we don't have the equipment to sort of like deal with them. So yeah.
Snakes with nails?
No, tortoises. Tortoises. Right, okay. Lizards and all that kind of stuff.
Trying to catch you.
There is a kind of snake that's got a sort of vestigial nails, I think, but it's not got any kind of actual feet.
Right. You're the best. You know everything about everything.
Dubious.
If anybody's got some questions they'd like to get in touch with you, Kirsten, what's the easiest way?
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page. If you've got the Vet Centre in Crow Road, you'll find us. Also got a website that's getting done up quite soon as well. So, yeah, that's probably the best ways.
Kirsten Simpson from the Veterinary Centre. Thank you so much for joining us.
Cool, no worries. Thanks. Bye.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.